there are two perspectives to the move of God. There is a part of the move of God that is reoccurring, is cyclical in nature. Just like the nitrogen cycle, the oxygen cycle. When God subscribes to that kind of move, experience can be an advantage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have here present some among our escorts that were born again in the during the SU revival. Some of them are behind there. They contacted the anointing from that rain. Hallelujah. Now, when God subscribes to that cyclical move from the archives of experience, they can look at several manifestations and they can accurately judge, not with discernment, just on the strength of what? Of experience, that this is a little bit overboard. And in that context, when we are dealing with the economy of the cyclical movement, in that context, they will be accurate. But that is not the only approach God has to a move. Hallelujah. And it is needful for us to quietly understand that in order for the counsel of God to be captured in its full scope in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, He moved upon the face of what? Of the waters. It was like a process of inventory taking, quantity survey, what is required, building materials, iron rods. It was quantity survey that was taking place, a brooding, a movement. Now, you see, the nature of that movement will determine what to expect after that movement has found due process. Are you with me? Now, so that movement can be cyclical in nature, thereby empowering the ancient. His experience is key. Hallelujah. So there are several moves that some denominations have been able to entrap, and they understand the cyclical progression of that move. They understand the nature of that move. Ministries and churches were formed on the foundation of such cyclical movements. And it's getting by, at least for now, until God decides to launch the second approach, which is His move that is in wave form. You see, in physics and mathematics, when we are dealing with, there's a sine curve, a cosine curve. Hallelujah. That one is a wave. It can avoid so many people. You know, a wave from here. There are some people are doing some activity here. But you see, the wave, all right? When God decides to subscribe to wave form, it means He wants to leave some people out of the business. At that point, when God is doing the wave form, experience is a disadvantage. You don't understand what I'm talking about. May the Lord give us understanding. Our first prayer point, because we need to capture this thing. Hallelujah. You were there. Amen. I speak in parables. We were somewhere. We were in a feast. There was a feast. And there was so much activity on stage. The governor. You were there. And some things were taking place at the backside. We were at the backside ensuring that the locomotive train had enough. We were black. We're black at the backside. But meanwhile, on the stage, there was what? So much activity. Until there was an earthquake. And then the locomotive itself was disconnected from the backside. And only the people in the locomotive pouring coal were emotional. What we are talking about now is that God has decided to subscribe to a wave. When he does that, the verdict, they have no wine, becomes a matter. Because when a campground, I heard a particular ministry is building an auditorium 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. That a Chinese company had to be ferried all the way from China with logistic facility to set up an auditorium that will make Guinness Book of Records. And the moment you finish and you install the coping stone, God can decide to pass the wave through the territory, and that is what is exempted entirely. Now, people are building auditoriums without checking whether that location is a touch point in the wave movement. That auditorium they are building in the next 7 years, even if they use witchcraft, it will never be filled. Even if they invoke Orisha Gbogbo, the signature is different. You know, when a CBN governor changes the signature on the note, Friends, we are about to journey into a corridor. A corridor where angels dread to set foot. A pavilion where lions cannot find the secretary. The Bible says there is a path which no fowl knoweth. You see, the mystery of the path is that its light has not been shed on it. The wisdom behind that mysterious path has an ability to select the sojourners that can successfully travel on it. You see, I am Otema Kande Kobene Sono Akanatela Kondemo. You know what? In that place where me, an evangelist, we were operating in the locomotive chamber. Even when the engine that was driving the system was cut off, the governor of the feast was still come up. There were many people in the locomotive chamber that decided to abandon mission at a critical moment because they were affected. They saw the jubilation in the corridors of the governor, and they looked on their black trouser, black, and sorrow was cast on their soul. And the devil exploited that sorrow and brought a suggestion. Many of them took to that suggestion, but it was the time for the last pot to be filled to the brim. Kadesh Barnea. That was the location that took all the princes of Israel. It was there that Moses fell. It was there that Aaron bowed his head. Miriam, the prophet, could not go past the gate of Kadesh. You see, the sign curve, it's not as if there's a curse in the land, though. There's just a door, a narrow door. It's so narrow that if you have too fat, access, entrance will be a challenge. So the Kadesh Barnea is like that computer door, that bulletproof door you use to enter the bank. One leaf of the door will open first. Then you will enter. Then all kinds of cameras, your weight, the wine you drank until you became fat like this, will be x-rayed in Kadesh. Hallelujah. The difference between Kadesh and the bank door always opens. Alright? But Kadesh, when the weighing and the analysis and permutations have been done, if you were not part of the locomotive movement, that place is supposed to be an entrance, it will be your graveyard. And a point came where Moses was too fat to cross to the other side. And everything they have believed for the past 30 years was on the other side. We are going to pray today, God, as we approach Kadesh, help me to have the right priorities. Help me to have the right orientation and an accurate motivation. What is your motivation in the house of God? You see, these things will be tested in Kadesh. Now, that prayer you are praying, I pray, I hope it is coming from your heart. But this is time to do business with God. Some of you were given opportunities to minister to young people, to youth. You felt because there was no portfolio attached to it, it was not a venture that was worthy of commitment. this door, bulletproof door, it has two leaves. But they operate, they don't open the same time. Because in between there will be a check. And that's a check that PDP, that INEC cannot manipulate. That you don't need a card reader for that check. It's a divine check. Friends, there is a wave coming. And even the best of us that has fed fat on the old wine is not qualified. God needs to do a miracle in the next 25 minutes. Let us engage Jesus. Let's engage him. Hoda mahabres coveneto. Likonsele Babro Sakotamu Nasika Adedos Kandedo Horomos Vrana Masiko Tombala. Meresika Lobera Kuda Masaila Rantos Efedele Lobres Kumana Kumana Sila Harade. Brota suka elekande somani. He needs to do a miracle in the next 25 minutes. There is an issue of positioning here. He said the pots were there. Are you dislocated? Are you out of alignment? Functioning on a frequency that is not approved. God needs to do a miracle in the next 15 minutes. Somendale mama. Rikande somadela baba. Adamola kumana. Saile telebo shakamade, ama ma 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 ma.
matomale.
Challenge. The challenge is in the word there. Adam, where art thou? Means there's a there in the matter. Where art thou?
You see, this there has two windows. Hallelujah. The first window is positional. Hallelujah. You see, in order for God to run some of his business, he had to establish a kingdom that is like no other. Not a kingdom of king and subjects, but a kingdom of king and kings, indicative of the fact that there were ranking personalities that had to be in his kingdom to operate as functionaries to manage some of his business. Now, with this kind of ranking is jurisdiction and territory and influence. And as far as God is concerned, if the thrones that are equivalent to these rankings are occupied in the spirit, the authority to administer and execute order exists. Are you with me? On the strength of that order, God's business can be kept in good shape. Then suddenly, God looks through his vista and finds out that one of his ranking princes cannot be found in the orbitals of thrones. He doesn't need to be told that there's chaos in that realm. In fact, the displacement of that personality was an indication of utter chaos. One, it was also an indication of an introduction of a strange kingdom, because there is still government within the territory, but it will not be government according to the example that is established in the kingdom of God and domiciled in the heavens. And so there's a challenge. So from his realm, he say, what? Where art thou? That's positional. Now, some of you have lost your positional privileges because of a displacement that took place on the account of a decision you took, not in the spirit, but in the flesh. You see, the things about status, stature, ranking, capacity, guardianship, custodianship, the issues about these matters, are you with me? Oh my God. You see, when Adam lost guardianship in Eden, a relative of his in the spirit was the one that came to function there in the meantime. So there was a guardian cherub released from heaven to still do the work of this absent guardian. The only thing is that this cherub that is deployed from heaven is deployed to ensure that the former guardian doesn't enter into. Do you understand? Now, you see, you were rising well, you started well. Huh? And then something besieged your heart. And you did not understand the implication of that besiegement. You just thought it was circumstantial and situational. You did not see that the plot was ordered from a strange kingdom to displace your authority, evidenced by the throne you had in the realm. That throne is your access to authority in the territory. Hallelujah. And then some things happen. Now, God will show mercy this night. Amen. That's why I'm raising the issues. The second thing, where art thou? That is locational. It's as if, you know, the Bible says that there was a day when the sons of God, they came for some kind of an accountability meeting in the courts of heaven. That's a location they had to gather. And then there was somebody that was obviously not present. So when his issues were being discussed, it was as if there was no intercessor. It was as if some reports were not coming from that window. Meanwhile, there was a personality in the meeting that normally is not normally summoned that was present that day. The Bible says the sons of God had gathered, but on this occasion, what happened? Satan. Satan. he was present. You see, it became easy after that meeting for Satan to invade Job, invade his corridor, bring influence. There was something that that's not good. Okay. So there's a locational where art thou. It's as if it's a place where God and this personality will normally meet to discuss the issues of government in his own realm. And there was a meeting scheduled, but it's as if this guy suddenly lost the capacity to arrive at the location of the meeting. So it means the current wisdom about governance of the territory cannot be released because there is a displacement that was not ordered from above that had taken place. Now, I don't know what your situation is, But you see, the Bible says with the law there is mercy. That's number one. And then he said with him there is plenteous redemption. That means if mercy is available, the paths to redemption are many. Can we ask God for mercy? See, look at your life and be truthful. Today, I know many times you came and you were able to shield your heart away from the symptoms of sincerity. But tonight, look upon yourself. Is it true that there's a question? There is a where art thou question. If there is such a question, it means you are not there. And Jesus will be operating where? There. I want us to handle that question before I open a scripture. That's on your own life as an forget your neighbor. I don't know why your neighbor came. Do you know why your neighbor came? You know, there's something that happens to a man that has been removed from cover. Let me tell you, this human life is a life of infirmity. If what you are boasting with is carnal, then your words never struck a chord where it matters most. The show will be taking place there. I want us to pray, just in case you have discovered that you are not there, either positionally or location wise, this will be a good time for you to secure his mercy. Please approach him. Approach him. Approach him. Approach him. Now, do not take into cognizance the person by your side, because that will not be necessary at this point. Just make sure you engage him. His workshop is there. Father, we know that there are different kinds of displacements. We have angular shifts. We have vertical and horizontal shifts. And that's why the Bible says concerning the law, it said, do not turn to the left or to the right. Do not permit an angular shift, because it's going to change your expected destination. A lot of people have shifted and they are still expecting to arrive at the right there. That's not possible. That is not possible. Comprehese nahabo taculata ebro comosike. Maras obolonte. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. If you can, you may be seated. Just open your Bible in a most solemn manner. These are heavy, heavy matters this evening. Now please, it's needful to acknowledge that because of insufficiency in time, we have not really handled the matter of there sufficiently in prayer. There's a dislocation challenge that we have not afforded sufficient time to handle. Hallelujah. The symptoms around many of our lives is an indication of the fact that you are not there. We may not know the reason for which you have come today, but your reason is not so significant. It's the Lord's reason for summoning us that is superior. And he intends to bring us there. You see, that there is a strange place. It leaves princes dead. The ones that are not found there, they are declared contraband, so you cannot cross the border. Some things that were raining eventually becomes contraband because the route takes you through Kadesh Barnea. When the two leaf gates, they don't open at the same time. One will open, then you enter. Then there's Khan. I remember when we went to Israel for pilgrimage, and my friend Pastor Emma from Boko, we were in the same team, so we connected again after a long time. It's a great, great, great evangelist that I've been laboring in the rural areas for many years. So we connected again, and I happened to be the pastor of the bus. So we organized a crusade in the bus. It was a strange crusade. We did deliverance. We did deliverance and expelled demons. We did baptism for people. We also did Holy Ghost service for people that needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We had extra pilgrimage services. You know, we had, there's a lounge where we hold the normal services. We had extra services for people that were not reached from the lounge, because most times you will not be reached from there. So we had to raise a kiosk. There was a lot of ministry that took place. Then one night we were praying, me and pastor, because we finished the service in the lounge. There was a body, so we decided it was like a summon. So we looked for a hall that the hotel people secured for us somewhere on the second floor, and then we went there and began to pray. And then suddenly I was in a vision. Those computer doors, or what they call them, bulletproof doors, two leaf gates. The gate will let you in, then you come in. And there's a computer attached to the gate. So when you get into the gate, the computer will do some readings on you. I noticed that there were people on different lines. There was a red line, there was a green line, there was a yellow line. Right? Eventually, when I pressed in prayer, I discovered that those colors were colors that represented offices. For instance, the red was the apostolic office. The parameters by which people were judged on the red line was different from the parameters by which people were judged on the yellow line. Surprisingly, I was on the red line. And I saw many champion ministers that preach in Nigeria today. They were also on the red line. I mean, known guys, names with hair, but the one you are thinking was there too. That one was there. The two leaf gates. So the gate will open for you and you enter. And then the reading comes out. You know what? What came out from the Nigerian church was F. That is F, 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 F. Then there was one guy, he was standing in front of me. When he entered the gate and he came out, he scored 78. And that guy is not a known face. At least that was some hope. Then I was admitted into the chamber, two leaf gates. That was when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the red is the apostolic office, and the basis of measurement, or the scale, the principle of measurement here is sacrifice. Then I was put on the scale. I scored a 50% in my vision. So I now tarried before God to find out why I had that score. It was as if it was a battle. I just And a lot of things were told me that were deficiencies. One of which was that No, don't worry. That's my own business. It doesn't concern you. I wept sore that day. In fact, from what God said, I had potentials to have a better grade than the man in my front. But for this fact. Meanwhile, I also saw some of our ministers present here too. They entered into the various leaf gates. And I saw the scores on their name. Then I knew that even though we were individually anointed, corporately, our corporate ranking, hallelujah. Well, that was how many years ago now? I guess it must have improved. I guess so. It must have been. A lot of us do not, we don't stay, we are not concerned about God's perception of us. We are more concerned. Like, I met some people, they had so many visions to tell. They had visions about this preacher, visions about this preacher. That this, and obviously, they didn't have visions about themselves. I'm not concerned about what happens to Johnson Suleiman. That's his own business. Hallelujah. But I should be concerned about my current rating before God. Those matters will be brought to account in such a season. In fact, that is the basis upon which you can be found there in the first place. Now, we don't have time to press that further. I want to trust that you will be able to press it a little more after now. Now, while Pastor was preaching, a scripture dropped into my spirit, man. I want to read that scripture quickly. It's Exodus chapter 30. Every man's motivation is always measured in the scales of judgment. Every man's orientation is measured in the scales of judgment. Your orientation is what is responsible for your attitude. Your attitude can be the basis upon which you are disqualified. I think we need to capture the mercy of God sufficiently tonight for the purpose of repositioning and realignment. Hallelujah. I know the amen. I know at such times people don't say amen anymore, but it's okay. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, the Bible says, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." Now, the reason why I started my reading from this fractured point, from a moreover, is because of time. Amen. Just in case there's a theologian here that is already contending with me for not following the protocol of beginning at a stem. I'm reading from a branch and is concerned about the fate of the gospel because of my approach. My being liberal is because of time. I need to put that on ground. You see, there are many people here. Maybe there's a graduate from a seminary that just came now. It's for you, because of such as you, that I have to strike that balance, so that you can also flow with us in this boat. What was the instruction that God could not give any other person among his people? He had to smuggle it to Moses. What exactly was this instruction? He said, "Take thou also unto the principal spices." Now, the last time I checked, if you want to cook food, I think the food is the major cause, and then the spices are additives for taste purposes. That also. Then the great one now says, in this matter, you will have to do what? Gather spices first. Before we think of the substance that you'll be cooking, make sure the spices are fully assembled. An array of spices were mentioned. And I'd like us to look into it critically. When there is a proclamation in the spirit realm, it's a verdict from a throne of authority saying there is no wine. Are you with me? At such times, the labor, that which is required to fulfill the measure, is somewhat a little bit more meticulous than just manual labor. Amen? Okay. He said what? Take unto thee spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. If your Bible is not borrowed, underline myrrh. That's the first spice. Secondly, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. Second spice is what? No, not cinnamon. It's what? Sweet one. You see, there are different kinds of cinnamon. There is sour cinnamon. There is what? Bitter cinnamon. And then there is sweet cinnamon. The one required for this mixture is the sweet one. Hallelujah. He said, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus. That's the third one. And 250 shekels of cassia. And 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary of oil, olive in an inn. Now, the substance or the material upon which these spices will act is olive oil. So, what we are trying to develop here is the oil of anointing. Are you with me? Now, hallelujah. Okay, come with me. Now, you see, when you have gathered all the raw materials, there's olive oil, there's sweet cinnamon, there's sweet calamus. Do you understand that? Then you will just think that having gathered all the raw materials, what you need to do next is just to mix them, and then you have the product that is required. That is not the case. There is a strange act by which the mixing and mingling is performed to produce the holy anointing oil. Now, 25. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment or an ointment compound. You see, that word is a very... We chemists monopolize that word, compound. A holy what? Please don't forget that compound. If your Bible is not borrowed, you can underline what? Compound. A holy, an ointment compound, and the procedure of mixture to get the product is after the act of the apothecary. Now let's stop the reading there. After what? The act. Now, have you ever read at the back of a drug? Artemether. You go to the back side of the encasement, you will see the things that the drugs contain. If I give you those things in the same measure, you can't produce that drug. Because the skill of production is in the ability to mix it according to an art. That word apothecary is pharmacist. And a pharmacist is a drug chemist. Hallelujah. There is a way you can mix it. It will not turn out to become drug. It will become poison because you did not follow the art. There are two verdicts in the spirit realm. No oil, no wine. When we go to the book of Revelation, a seal was broken. Are you with me? When that seal was broken, many things on earth began to change. But there was a holy decree from heaven that do not touch, everything can change, but do not touch the oil and the wine. Oh, you have not seen that scripture. Those ones were held constant. Other things can change, but these ones must remain. So we don't have wine. We don't have oil. So the labor that is required to get oil is meticulous. And even if you succeed in getting all the materials, you don't have the skill by which to mix it to produce the desired result. An Ezemo can tell you, you need a male and a female squirrel. You need an animal without a backbone. And the cod liver oil of a blue whale. Even if you succeed in gathering all the items together, you don't have the spiritual skill to mix it, to use it to produce the result of deliverance that brought you to his shrine. He say it must be mixed according to the art of what? Of the apothecary. Now, so let us, pastor's preaching struck on the first spice. Hallelujah. Notice that the first spice is what?
Myrrh.
What is the use of myrrh? It's a compound that is administered for the purpose of embalmment. Most of you that eat chicken, frozen chicken, it is the same chemical they use to make that to preserve frozen chicken that they use for embalmment. Somebody wants to fall now. You have already eaten it. Are you with me? Now, so let us find a scenario where we can properly handle the first spice. If you are still here, say amen. Myrrh is required. You know, when Jesus was born, they brought so many things: gold, frankincense, not normal incense, but frankincense. And then the nun brought myrrh. You see? And each of those things that were brought was significant. He was speaking about his destiny. It was in the book of Matthew chapter 26 where the myrrh was now required. And there was a strange orchestration that was put in place around that myrrh as it had to do with the ministry of Jesus. Just like I said, it is a spice, a compound that is required when there is death. You may not need it until the time of the end comes. And so for people that are alive, you may have no need to go and purchase myrrh. So it was strange for a baby to be born and the baby is presented with what? Is it that you are causing the baby, that the baby should die and not reach adulthood? What strange gift is this? The truth of the matter is this: you cannot access oil if you are not willing to let go. your own way and accept God's way. Now, I just put it in a mild fashion so that we will be able to follow. But I need to strike this chord. The reason why a lot of people are not there is because they don't have the spice of myrrh in their oil. That one can only rest comfortably on men that have died. According to Bible theology, that part of you that is capable of existing apart from God, that principal part of you that can exist confidently, sufficiently apart from God, is called your will. You see, when we gave our lives to Christ, a miracle took place. But the implication of what happened after we accepted Jesus did not end with your spirit. It also has an economy that must be applied upon your soul. Your soul must take on the character of the prosperity that your spirit is enjoying in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, it happens to be that because we exercise ourselves and develop some potentials before we found Jesus, it will not naturally follow that now that you are born again, you let go those your advantages and potentials that you have developed by which you lived prior to this time, and now decide to subscribe to the philosophy of the Holy Spirit coming from your recreated human spirit. Now, the guy that is born again is a complex personality. He has various sources from whence to draw his essence. Now, if he is born again indeed, God sits in his spirit. If he's born again indeed, the Holy Ghost has tabernacled in his spirit chamber, influencing his heart so that he can choose God's choices, he can like what God likes, and he can think God's thoughts. That's a very strong position. Meanwhile, this guy can decide to function apart from God. God is saying, do this. And he has the capacity to choose not to do what God wants him to do. And he will excel doing another thing that God doesn't want him to do. That means the man can exist in a mode, in a form, in a fashion that can carry on apart from God. He can nurture an anger, a bitterness that the Holy Spirit did not sponsor. And he can carry on that bitterness for 10 years, for 12 years, apart from God. God is not the one that is responsible for that bitterness, but he has chosen to remain there, even though he knows this is not God's disposition. It means that this man still sustains a form of existence outside of the philosophy of God. It means he's alive. So that scripture in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 that I said is my own perspective of the summary of the New Testament truth. It is no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. That scripture is very radical. Because that scripture can only come to pass after a battle. Because this man has been living in this bitterness. That's what his life consists. That's how he functions. In fact, there are some people he doesn't talk to. There are some people he doesn't relate with. And those people are his relatives. But you know, he can decide to keep them aside because of something that happened many years ago, and he feels that he was marginalized. She was marginalized. And that is enough reason for him to keep in bitterness until his or her life fades out. Such a vessel, even though the person is with the Lord, he has received Jesus, he is not there. Even if the Holy Spirit decides to fall upon everybody in this city, such a person will be in drought. Because it will be a waste of God's investment to anoint that person. If the person is anointed, the anointing will push the demands of that bitterness to another spiritual level, and the bitterness will be riding on horseback. Now, you see, we have carried a lot of garbage into the house of God. And that's why it's very difficult for us to discern God's presence in his house at this point in time, because critical matters were not raised before the brethren. Hallelujah. Hence the need for this mayor. I want to round up with this. Many years ago, we went to do youth service in Kano. I and my friend decided to be praying together on one mountain, far away from where people come. So one of those days we came to the prayer place. We met a few people, few other people praying before we showed up, and we decided to collapse all the prayer initiatives into one body. And while we were doing that, the people felt blessed by our presence and decided to tell us where they were coming from, that they were running a fellowship somewhere of which they wanted us to at least come and be a part. We said that, no skin pain, we'll be there. So we showed up. And when one of the guys saw that we actually honored the invitation, they paved the way for us to minister to the people, and we took scripture and began to minister. And I guess they were blessed. I guess so. Because after that ministration, the people went and met, and they said, we should collapse the office of the Bible study teacher for now, since this guy is a copper and he has some things to offer. Let the office of the Bible study secretary be collapsed for the sake of the maturation of the people. Hallelujah. You are not with me. Hey, meh. So they now came to me, sent a delegation to my house and said, we were blessed by the last ministration and we want to place a burden upon you such that you may not be willing to take, but we believe it's of the Lord. For the time of your youth service, be our teacher. All our programs are suspended. We just want to grow. We have been stuck in a particular spiritual plane for too long. We believe there's something you have that can help move this locomotive. Hallelujah. Then the person whose office had to be suppressed to accommodate the new evangelist now went and bought a suitcase. You see, and he became a prophet thereafter. We'll hold teachings for 3 hours. That was when I now discovered that the fellowship was orthodox because they could not engage tongues. I said, we are all running on crutches. The Holy Ghost needs to help us further. Because if the devil cannot keep you away from Jesus, the next thing he does is that he keeps you away from the Holy Ghost. So we had to do Holy Ghost baptism service. And people began to speak in tongues. That Bible study man traveled to Abuja. He left an Orthodox fellowship. The people came and were engaged for 2 sessions. He came back to meet a Pentecostal fellowship. Not just a very radical Pentecostal fellowship. So the guy now felt threatened that, meanwhile, obviously there was a damsel in the fellowship that he was actually using his oratory powers to capture from pulpit angle. You know, a lot of things happen on the pulpit. The pulpit is a place of power. There's power here. He was engaging something. Obviously, he was a vessel, but obviously not in the vicinity of Jesus' workshop. Now, see, a lot of activity goes on in church, but any activity that doesn't have the touch of men, that men cannot rest upon, is suspect. Now, so the guy came back from Abuja, noticed that the fellowship, in fact, he came into fellowship and a prayer point was held up in the spirit. And for 1 hour, the prayer point was still relevant. He came, normally when he comes with a cloud, an air, and people notice that he has come. So, he came from Abuja with a bag that is supposed to add to the glamour. And he approached the center from the aisle. And surprisingly, his presence was not noticed. He had to trace where this shift was coming from. And he saw that there were vessels of stone that were set. Instantly, he decided to begin the Putin ministry. You know, there's a ministry of Putin. Because if this light that is on the candle stand shines sufficiently, such as him will no longer find relevance in the landscape. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, the person that ignited the candle ensured that it was set before he came back from Abuja. So there was a burden. You know, if the candle was lit and put, it's easier for the enemy, for the man of mischief, to intercept the process before it is set. But the thing was set before the man of mischief showed up. So he looked at all the options of how to enter into the system. The only option that was left was that for he had to be a prophet. So he comes, you know, when they have finished the message and they are praying and consecrating to God, he now cries out from the background with his suitcase. And I beheld Israel scattered upon the mountain top like sheep without shepherd. I beheld. Then when he's done with that, he lays hold firmly on his briefcase and he takes. Now, that was Putin ministry that was at work. But I think the issues we were engaging were deep issues that the Putin ministry didn't find relevance. No, let me use that word. It was operational, but it was not relevant. A great divide was being established by the Holy Ghost in that fellowship. By the introduction of a candle that was lit and set. Hallelujah. We continued. The prayer proceeded without his prophecy becoming part of the prayer point. That means he is there, but then 2 weeks later, he showed up again with a promise. And suit. He always comes on suit. You see, the issue there is he had the ability retained in him to still carry out activity that was dissociated from what God was pioneering. That is the matter. That is the issue. Except that tendency is brought to submission to the will of God, the requirement of the apothecary has not been fulfilled. I will stop there for tonight. Hallelujah. We have all kinds of ministry today that they don't have the touch of man. You spoke about Abuja. Abuja is the temple of all kinds. That's the trial point. It's like a nursery a nursery where all kinds of oil without men are tried out. It's as if the discernment of the average Abuja Christian has fallen below recognition, such that anything goes, anything that is flashy, anything that can rent a hall, a classic hall in Le Meridian, Transcorp, Hilton, if you can rent a hall there and package well, you'll find people without job to do that will come and watch the spectacle. But you see, it happens to be that God is taking inventory of oil without men. There is no way such a platform can give forth life if first it has not been subjected to death. It is only that which has the capacity to survive death in resurrection by a spirit that raises from the dead that can minister from the realm of life. The touch of man is suddenly becoming a forgotten phenomenon among the people of God. Meanwhile, it is not only evil things God wants to kill. He wants to kill things that are not from Him. We even have some churches that have a mandate from God, genuine mandate. Now it is run without mayor. No touch of death. The cross is not part of what is happening anymore. So it doesn't have the capacity to release life. Jesus' formula for the release of life is, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abideth alone. So there's an abiding alone syndrome. There's a lack of productivity syndrome that is attached to anything that has not gone through the process of death. And because of the fate of that abiding alone syndrome, people use packaging, blending of colors, environmental touches to psychologically bind unsuspecting and unspiritual Christians in a charismatic zoo with a ministry of crutches that makes them totally dependent on the superstar that runs the show on the pulpit, and he doesn't have any link with heaven. Because we don't understand the texture of authentic ministry must be such a ministry that has gone through death. Death must be the signature by which life can be captured. Hallelujah. You see, what I'm saying today is not what I planned to say. That was what dropped while he was preaching. I want us to pray today. Today is not a day of miracles, signs and wonders. It's a day of alignment. Now, somebody believes that the height of Christianity is his ability to speak in tongues. Very soon you will realize that the Holy Spirit you receive when you give your life to Christ has a way of doing things which is not the way of men. One of the things that Scripture wants to compel us to understand, even if we are unwilling to understand, is that God is not a man. That means the way God does his things is not the way men do their things. That thing that portfolio pastor did in our fellowship was how men do stuff. He felt insecurity, and because of his insecurity, he felt he had to do something to preserve his position. So it was at that junction that the spirit of Jezebel found compatibility with him, because he wanted to do something apart from God. It was not God that wanted to do that thing. It was him that wanted to do it, and he was drawing resources from his fallen nature to pioneer something that God is not doing. Have you ever been to a fellowship or been in a fellowship that is dead? A church that is dead? Be bold. Have you been there before? And when you come to the... I know there are more people. Let's do it again. Okay. You see... my God. Have you been there? And you dress fine, nice, polish you. You sit down and there is no oil. The reason is because there is no man. Death is not in this thing that is being... And that one will never change for as long as the Lord lives. If life will come, death must come. This is not what we plan to do. I wanted to be a lecturer. A lecturer that can come to class and give you a lecture, give you notes, give you structures, give you diagrams without a notebook. And I knew I had the mental capacity to do that. Hallelujah. And I was going for it and there was nothing stopping me. And then the great one said, you were not called to be a lecturer. And in fact, I will not allow you to succeed because you can succeed. You know, the Bible spoke about the people that wanted to build a tower. And God's testimony about them is that if these people are allowed, they will. May God not allow you succeed in an angular shift from there. I had what it takes to succeed. It was because he decided that I will not succeed that I'm here today. It's not because I did. Is it a sin to be a lecturer? But that was not my calling. It was what I wanted. And I felt I had the capacity to do it. And I did not consult with the one that gave the capacity. If it's there, he wants it to be used. I had made up an agenda on his own capacity. And I was zealous about bringing it to pass. And he said, I know you can bring it to pass. That's why I will not allow you. So people like Aboho were raised to ensure that that does not come to pass. And we give God the glory for Aboho. For in that instance, in that context, Aboho was a servant of God that helped bring the necessary balance so that myrrh, the spice of myrrh, can come upon my ointment. Most of you here are struggling with him. And you think you are there. You are not there. That struggle is a sign that you are still alive. Your will has not yet accepted his own way. We're moving out with the damsel and then you now touch the damsel and discover the damsel has changed in chemistry. And then suddenly their idea. The way to do it is shame go catch you. That's the protocol. You will die. There's no other way. You can decide to cut off that thing. Eh? You will never get there until you reconcile that position. You don't understand? That's what we call angular shift. When the law was given, God told Joshua when he was coming to take over, he said, do not turn where? To the left. Or? We are going to pray today because there is this tendency of turning. Either to the left or what? You have not been there, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Have you ever been given, have you seen 50 million before in dollar form? If you have not seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about. There is no temptation in my cardio, let me tell you. if you fall here, it was a bucket of water you fell inside and drank. Somebody says, he fell in my cardio. No, there is no such thing. I've not seen a temptation here. You fall where? In Urukum. No. Have you smelled dollars when it is in a gymnast bag, kept no oxygen inside, and then they open it, then you smell it? If you raise your head and you say, Jesus, you have gone far with it. As long as you are still alive, Satan can still influence you. You still have an agenda. There is still something you want to accomplish. Satan will be your friend and he will give you the tools to walk, demonic tools. Just like that guy strangely had tools for his escapade. There was no mare on his oil. But he was active. He had a plan. There was a determination. Just like we have many people determined today. But it is not, his roots are not in God. Finally, Jesus used a Greek word in the Gospels when he addressed the Pharisees. He said, you are of your father, the devil. That word of in Greek is ek. Ek means origin. So Jesus was not probing their appearance. Maybe they look gallant. He was not probing their oratory. Maybe they are powerful on the pulpit, but he was probing their source.
from whence do you originate?
He said, these works we are seeing here, if we trace them in the laboratory, they take us to the devil. Hallelujah. That's what we become, messengers of the devil, if we do not submit our will to the will of God. We serve the devil with power for many years. May your old age, let it not be that in old age you turn back and discover that you were a messenger of the devil. Not on the account that you are not born again, but on the account that you refuse to surrender your will. You became an accommodation, a vehicle to translate satanic intentions. And you have been partnering with Satan for a long time, carrying his goods, transporting, transmitting, manifesting all kinds of stuff, just because no mere is upon the combination that produces your oil. We are going to pray tonight. It's a solemn night. It's a solemn night. That's the little addition I brought to the table, is to give us an insight if it is true that you are there. We'll pray. If God gives us grace, we'll pick on sweet calamus tomorrow. Then you will know that indeed there is a verdict in the church. No wine, no oil. By the time we do sweet calamus, you will know this kind of Christianity is no longer popular. We have invented something new. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus was a radical. I know. Go back. Jesus was what? Jesus was God in human vessel. He was not a man. His perspective was alien to men. His words either made human beings offended, afraid, or confused. His words bore a light. And when you come under the sound of his voice, you see yourself in the most accurate context. And you know your basic needs. He was a radical. This measured Christianity we are doing around, that was not what Jesus started. That's why we need to look at all the spices, so that you will know which one you don't have. But I can tell you as a witness that myrrh is in scarce supply now. Hallelujah. How many of you you visit YouTube very frequently? I do. Facebook, I do. I see what is happening around. And if I'm here, I have strong satellite, I see what is happening in Africa, what our brethren, our brothers are preaching. You don't know. There is no mayor on the pulpit. Do you know that these things that are being preached now cannot really raise the disciple? And then to compound it, they now do 5 services. Even people that do circles, after they run and jump over lion, they shut down for the day. They don't do evening service, those circles people, because the backbone would have had challenge. Did you see in scripture anytime Jesus had 3 services? Because one service he doesn't have time for. He preaches for 3 hours. Paul will preach all night. Somebody will die. He will raise him up, and they will not put it on hand. He continues to establish doctrine. Those guys were building something. Those guys. Now, okay, check John. John, he was mending his nets when Jesus met him. That was the same John that said, that which was from the beginning. He brought a witness from beyond time. Is that a fisherman? You cannot be a true follower of Jesus and not be a radical. Just in case you are doing this measured thing, you have a crutch. You are moving with crutches. And then when you move, you now say, hallelujah, Ebenezer. May God help us this night. May God help. We need help. We need help. Please, now as you rise up, it's a solemn time. It's a solemn moment. All these things we have done, we have wasted our life for the past 12 years. The average Christian has wasted his life. If all you are doing is current church life, you have wasted. See, you will go to heaven, you won't see this thing on record. No mayor on it. Heaven can't take it. Meanwhile, you were in the locomotive, you were. Meanwhile, that place, me and him left. When we left,
the engine, the oil finished, and Jesus did not intervene. So everybody now, the agenda changed. The oil finished, Jesus didn't intervene in that case. But what Jesus, what he did to the ushers was, I said, Moraka. Moraka, Moraka. You see, the tears I shed and the laughter was not because something was funny, but because I am tired of crying. That's why I laughed. Let us pray together. There is a situation in the body of Christ. Darkness has taken over the heritage of God. This major thing we call Christianity is an error. Jesus was a radical. Jesus did not use words like normal mortals. His words will shake you to your foundation. You will know that it was not ordinary human speaking. It was a spirit speaking from the realm of his nationality. The Bible says, he that is from above speaketh the words of God. The words he spoke were not human words. It raised men that could hold the fort for God, whose lives brought profit to his kingdom. I want us to pray finally as we bring this meeting to a close tonight. The prayer is simple. Lord, help me. Quietly, I like us to pray. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. That we will not trivialize the words that your servant has brought. That we will seek and look out to see if we are there. The spices are lost. The art of the apothecary is a lost part of our civilization. Now we ask for an intervention from heaven. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Ushers, let the offering baskets go round. Like I said, we don't have time to do what we need to do. We'll do more of praying from 4 p.m. tomorrow so that we can enter into these things and make them our personal possession. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, we'll be here. What's the time for tomorrow? Tomorrow morning, you announce it. People are going, that's why I want to say that. Listen. Listen. God is not a man. When the circle of the move of God begins on your life, his dealings are not like the dealings of men. If God successfully puts a word through, and the word finds its way to your heart, you realize that God is not a man. Every word he speaks is opposed to human nature. Every directive he gives
it doesn't synchronize with your human deposit. Every recommendation, in fact, in marriage, you say, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That means it is an ability beyond humanity to love that way. Because the way he loved, he said, you love like that. It means you are going to be a little bit beyond a man to fulfill that requirement. Is that true? His demands are not demands for humans. And what he wants to make out of you is not a human being. So if with all of these things I put on the table, you happen to be a measured, normal Christian, human Christian, then we need to look at your recipe. What is your own act of the apothecary? Your recipe is wrong. The combination, the percentage combination, the process of production is in doubt. And as we seek to redeem and to rescue Christianity, we must look at the things that people rush and never get to see. God will help us to look at those factors today, because the situation on ground is that there is no wine. In redeeming ourselves from the quagmire of our day, it will be required for us to look in some strange quarters to find out what is lacking. And we trust Jesus for his help. In Jesus' name. Will you still hold on to that which God is contending with in your life? Will you still hold on? You are trying to make a philosophy out of your bitterness, and everybody is afflicted because you have taken that disposition and you refuse to find repentance before the Lord. When we have a man that is not yielded to Jesus, if he has a pulpit as his tool, he wrecks a lot of destinies, marginalizes a lot of lives. And the thing is because there is no mayor. There is no mayor in the composition of the oil that is running with. So it doesn't meet the standard of the sanctuary.